Welcome to Friday Night Live. Let's pray. Father, just bless your word tonight. Bless this time of fellowship, Lord, that you would be the center, Lord. That you would be the center of all the conversation, of all the thoughts, and, of course, of your word as we preach your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you. This is Vicky. He's going to sing for us.
Commanded his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So great was his love for mankind, that he offered up his son to take the place of us. What a cost, such a price. Nothing more is required. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love which he loves us. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love which he loves us. Be strengthened with God's power. Through the word of his truth, you can do anything. Looking unto Christ, the author, the creator, the sustainer, to know the love of Christ. The love who is our very life. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love which he loves us. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love which he loves. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love which he loves us. How deep, how wide, how long, how high, to know the love in which he loves us.
Indeed, how massive are the dimensions of that love. And we'll never really know it on this side of heaven. We'll have glimpses and know a little bit until we see him face to face, love incarnate. The meaning of love, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Okay, we're going to finish up 1 John 3 tonight. Got as far as verse 3 last time. Then we took a sidetrack to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And so we're going to finish up chapter 3 tonight. I hope I nailed it good enough. It's tricky. It's tricky at best. We'll start in verse 1 now. See how great, what planet, what universe that love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It's not appeared yet as what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be just like him because we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure, just as he sanctified himself on behalf of us believers, Lord. In John 17, the high priestly prayer. So we'll start with verse 4. We'll go to 6. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him, there is no sin. And no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Okay, in this chapter, John, he's not teaching sinless perfection, as some would have said back in the olden days. I often got convicted that I wasn't saved or I lost my salvation reading 1 John, because, like I said, it's tricky. But because the believer can't sin and do lawlessness indeed. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not working in us. It's not motivating. It's not circulating through our stream of conscience. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We probably will sin. We don't have to, but we probably will. 1 John 2:27, it's for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches us, teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught, you abide in him. Oh, by the way, the name of the message is Therefore Abide. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Now, that's the same as Paul would say, the new creation. That anointing of the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in our hearts with Christ. Never ever to leave us, but will be there always. We have that anointing from the Holy One, the Chrisma. And we know all. You all know that we do. Two natures, the one still living in spiritual death, Romans 5:12. Death passed through sin through all men. So death was passed on to all men, not sin, but death. And when you're in death, you can't do anything but sin. The anointing creo, which you have received, is the new man created in Christ Jesus unto good works, in Ephesians 2:10. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, behold, new have come. The new nature is Christ indwelling us through the Holy Spirit, and he cannot ever do sin or lawlessness. The new man created after Christ Jesus, Ephesians 4:24, and put on the new self. We do this by faith. We reckon that we've been crucified with Christ, and we put on a new self by faith, which in God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is the believer, the one born of God and abiding. This one is abiding in you. Romans 8:9. However, you are not in the flesh but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. He's still living in death. The new man can only do righteousness, and he cannot sin. The Pelias Anthropos, the old man, he can only sin and couldn't do righteousness if his life depended on. So John here is speaking of two natures. One who does righteousness because the new self abides in him, and he is incapable of doing anything else. And the old self, can do nothing but sin and do lawlessness. Of course, we still choose to sin, but John is writing these things that we sin not. But if we do, good news always. Good news always comes after bad news. He's the propitiation for our sins. Like I said, I used to doubt my salvation when I read 1 John. He's speaking of the dead nature, and he's speaking of the new life in Christ nature. And even carnality, because the carnal man lives by the flesh. He doesn't use faith to live by the word of God or by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's living in his flesh, and he's going to produce nothing but the whirlwind. Verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. This is the old self who can only sin. Practice is the word poieo, which simply means doing. He's doing. He can, which is a present tense, which is continuous. So he's doing it regularly, on a regular basis. He can do nothing but as always, there's good news. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, verse 5. And in him there is no sin. You know is oida, from harao, the perfect tense. You know for sure, and you can't be convinced otherwise, as if you've seen it with your own eyes. He appeared, phanerothe, our same word in 1 Timothy 3:16. He was manifested in the flesh. Then you have the hina purpose clause, in order to take away, iro, to carry away, destroy, or withdraw, to do away with sin. This was finished when he cried, tetelestai, from the cross, putting an end to sin's power over us and taking away all the guilt that it had concurred. Stands finished for time and eternity. Perfect passive. And he paid in full for every sin of every man, the Savior of the world. 1 John 2:2 and 4:42, when the Samaritan men said, "We don't going to believe you because of the woman anymore. We've heard you for ourselves, and we know that you are the Savior of the world." I love that. The dirty Samaritans, them dogs. He was taking our place, reconciling us to God. 5:21 of 2 Corinthians, he made him who knew no sin. Sin. There's no S in there. There's no IME. To be shouldn't be there. He just made him sin. He represented sin on that cross. The sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's just as when Moses lifted up the serpent in Numbers 21:9, when they were complaining and bellyaching in the wilderness, and the serpents came out and started biting them and stinging them. And Moses put a serpent on a brass pole, and when they would look at it, they would be healed. That's why we look up to the cross. I remember when I was a little kid, I was pretty young, I think, real early on Sunday mornings, there was a show on a religious, they used to have like little 15-minute spots, and it was called Look Up and Live, and I used to wonder, what does that mean? Now I know. Looking up at the cross and living. This is the one abiding in you, the new self. We put him on by agreement with the word, faith. Faith alone in his word, as we were saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Romans 6, where we died with him, we're baptized into union with Christ, saying, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but no, not I, Christ. He liveth in me, and the life I live now I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. You always got to end it with that. He loved me and gave himself for me. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. 15:7 of John. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, There now his words need to abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There's your key to answered prayer. Have his word abiding in you. 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Keeping his commandments is the key. Believing every word, that's how you keep it. That proceeds from the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4, quotation of Deuteronomy 8:3. This is the works of God in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Faith. It's always nothing more than faith. 3:6. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or even known him. Like I said, abide is the word meno. It means to stay, remain, or continue. You're not just stopping in for a visit. He's not just stopping in for a visit. He's living inside you, and you should be living in him. You're dwelling in a house, and he's dwelling in you. That's abiding. All the ones sinning, they have never at any time, both perfect tense of arao and of gnosko, they've never seen him or they've never known him. John 16:3, these things they will do because they have known not me or the Father. 8:19 of John, so they were saying, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. John 14:7, if you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We can only know him through his word and know what he thinks. To know him is to love him. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Quotation of Isaiah 40:13. You have the mind of Christ sitting there right on your lap. Get it off your lap and into your soul, into your stream of conscience, so you can abide. 3:7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Okay, make sure nobody deceives you. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity to Christ. 3:18 of 1 Corinthians, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he's wise in this age, he must become foolish, that he may become wise. The word for deceive is exapateo, to be deceived, totally hoodwinked, beguiled. We are so easily deceived. Hate to say it, but be on your guard. If you can't think of nothing else, just say, I don't know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. It's life. It's a stumbling block to the religious and to the wise. But to us, it's life. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The one doing righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteousness. And it's him doing his righteousness in us and through us when we are abiding in him, keeping his word and producing fruit. 15:5 of John, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can't hear that one enough. 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither you can unless you abide in me. Okay, 1 John 3:8. The one who is doing sin, practicing sin, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy, that's the word luo. My little Terry Johnson called it a Greek for dummies because it's a little black and yellow book where I learned the Greek from. Well, anyways, the word luo, that's every, they use that word through the whole book. Every ending, every beginning, every tense, everything, they use that same word, luo. So I have a hard time forgetting luo. It's the same thing in Matthew 21:2, Mark 11:2, and Luke 19:31. Jesus said, go find a man and you'll see a donkey and his mother. Untie him. That's luo. Untie him and bring him here. In Matthew 20:28, he uses the word lutron, which is from luo. When he's talking to Mrs. Zebedee and she wants to know who's going to be on which side, which son's going to be on which side of Jesus. And he says, if they can drink the cup. And I don't think she answered that one. But he said to her, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom. That's the word lutron. And apolutrosin is the word redemption. So it's all, we've all been released from that death and sin that we were living in. Luo. The devil, yes indeed, he has sinned from the beginning. John 8:44, you of our father, the devil, you want to do desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Back to Isaiah 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. He was the morning star, Satan. He was the bright and morning star of heaven until he sinned and was kicked out. Now Christ is the bright morning star in Revelation 22:16. And we, if we continue in his word, see it as a light shining brightly till the day dawns and the day star rises in our hearts. We will also be sons of stars, sons of the morning. No wonder he's really mad at us. How you've fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. Boy, is that true. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down into Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Dust is his destiny now, and the lake of fire for all eternity. He never gets anything new. He used the same thing on Eve in 3:5. You will not surely die. If you eat that fruit, you'll be just like the Most High. Same trick. Old dog, same old trick. But the cross busted that up. The Son of God has appeared the first time to take away sins, and he will appear a second time to take away all evil forever and ever, create everything anew. John 12:31, now judgment is on the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. He's already judged. 16:11 of John concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Perfect passive indicative. Once for all. By the cross. The cross killed him. The evil one touches us not. That word is aptomai in John 5:18. Or 1 John 5:18. We know that no one is born of God sins, and he who is born of God keeps him. The evil one does not touch him. He touches us not. That word is aptomai
from the word apta, to start a fire. You can't start a fire. You can't burn us. We're fireproof. 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. If you're walking in a new man, no, you can't sin. If you're walking in carnality, you can sin. There's, like I said, it's tricky. But pas ho gegenomenos, all who have been born. That's a perfect passive participle, once for all. Born from above. Born not by the will of God. Not by the will of man or the will of the flesh, but born of God. In John 1:13. Except to be born of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God, Nick. You should know that being a teacher of Israel, but I have to explain the basics to you. Nicodemus, Nicky. Being born of God, his sperma, his seed abides in you, and his seed can never sin, because the seed is born of God. 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who also practices righteousness is born of him. You know that righteousness Christ willing and doing through him. Ephesians 4:24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. 1 Peter 1:23, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but seed which is imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. 1 John 3:10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. This is how we discern who is the child of God and who is the child of the devil. Still receiving his cues and his motivations from the cosmos, or the flesh, whatever his flesh wants to do. Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2:3, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Those are the children of God, or the children of the devil. But, good news again, 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All who are not doing righteousness and the one not loving his brother, these are the children of the devil, he said previously. If you say that you're walking in the light and hate your brother, you're in the darkness even till now. Darkness, just another name for death. Verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love, as is his essence. Matthew 22:37. When a Pharisee asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He quoted Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the foremost of the commandments. Second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We were all created in God's image. Love your brother, love your neighbor. Love. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. We love because he first loved us. 3:12, not as Cain. He was of the devil. He was of the evil one and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him?
Because his deeds were evil, and he was jealous.
Same reason, even Pilate noticed that the Jews had handed Jesus over because of envy and jealousy in Matthew 27:18. Same old sin. Cain, who was motivated by the devil to kill his brother. Genesis 4:8. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field. Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now, we all know that story. They're out in the field. Cain raised up and killed him. Now, I'm sure Adam has preached to his sons the fact that him and his wife sinned and passed death into all men, and that the Lord killed an innocent animal to make skins to cover their nakedness. I'm sure he told his sons that over and over. If he didn't, he should have. So it couldn't come time for them to offer their sacrifices. So Abel brought his lamb, slit its throat, put it on the altar, fired it up, recognizing the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But Cain, he brought the best of his veggies. He brought a fruit and vegetable tray, and God was displeased with that because it was a work. Cain invented the first work trip. I don't like it his way. I'm going to work my way. Ain't going to happen. Cain offered the best of his crops. Satan motivated the second murder of Cain, or of Abel, through Cain. The first one he motivated was Eve, when he told her, go ahead and eat it, you won't die. He might as well, by his own hand, murdered him and her and Adam. But, like I said, he killed the sacrifice, covered their shame and nakedness. Now, Cain, sin is crouching at his door, waiting to take control of him. And the Lord said, you must master it. But the only thing he has to master with is the knowledge of good and evil. And that's not enough. You need the Holy Spirit filling and Spirit-taught Word of God to overcome anything. Our faith. 1 John 5:4, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. 1 John 3:13, don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. It's because of him. John 17:14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The cosmos does not know us. That's why they hate us. John 15:24, if I have done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sinned, but now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. But they done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. Well, Jesus called the Psalms the law. That's Psalm 35:19 and Psalm 69:4. I'm sure Jesus considered the entire Old Testament the law, and since he wrote it, he can call whatever he wants to. For all those who want to say there's contradictions. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not abide, who does not love, abides in death still. 1 John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life, and does not come into the judgment, but is passed out of death into life. We know, there's Oida again, fully without a doubt, couldn't be convinced otherwise, to see and to know and to understand from seeing, the perfect of Haraya. Done deal. No longer under the death sentence passed on from Adam, but alive to God in Christ. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Free indeed we are. Romans 7:4, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined together to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We've also passed from darkness into light. 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Luke 15:24, for this the Son of Man was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's been found. And we're going to party. The angels rejoice in heaven when another lost sinner gets saved. 1 John, I think that's a song I heard before. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has the life. He does not have the Son, he doesn't have life. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Got a couple examples from Thessalonians. That's one of my favorite churches. They were probably about one of the youngest, and they're commended by Paul for their love and their works of faith constantly. And just goes to show you that being under great persecution, that's miracle growth for faith and love, because they sprung up them. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to give thanks to God, brethren. It's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Like I said, they were commended many times by the Lord, by Paul, which would be the Lord Jesus through Paul. 3:15, 1 John, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Anthropoktonos, there we go. Anthropos, man, and katane, to kill or to slay. He's a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Their father is the devil, in John 8:44. You have heard the ancients say that you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court, Matthew 5:21. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, or the King James I like, Raca, R-A-C-E-A, senseless, empty-headed man, or it's a term of reproach, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty to go into fiery hell. The one hating his brother does not have eternal life operating, but are still living in death and darkness. 1 John 2:9, the one says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is in the darkness till now. 1 John 4:20, someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot possibly love God whom he has not seen. 3:16, by this we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Jesus, our greatest example of laying down his life for all men for all time. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Speaking of himself, and we are to follow his example. John 13:13-17, you call me teacher and Lord, you're right, so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Okay, verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods, see his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Deuteronomy 15:7-8. There's a poor man with you, one of your brothers in any of your towns, in your land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. James 2:15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what they need as necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. But someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Luke 3:11, and he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise. Then he will answer, Matthew 26:45, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God our Father. So if the Mormon or the Jehovah Witness might say to you sometime, well, faith without works is dead, tell them that works without faith is filthy rags. That'll shut them up. Isaiah 64:6. Don't just talk. Talk a good ball game. Serve one another in principled love. Walk in love as a fragrant odor sacrifice, just like he did. 3:19. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts. Pytho will be convinced, persuaded. We will assure our hearts before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. There's Pytho again before God. 2:21 of 1 John, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you do know it, because there is no lie in the truth. John 18:37, therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king, Jesus answered. You say that I am, said Jesus, For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. We know we are of the truth because we hear his voice. We are sheep, and we hear him, and we follow him. He goes forth, goes on ahead of him, and we follow him because we know his voice. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, you may have confidence, not shrink away in fear or shame from him in shame at his coming. Hebrews 10:39. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 8:1, the best news of all. Therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That word is kataiskunomai, shamed. Isaiah 26, that's quoted from 1 John 4:17. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is in this world, so we are in this world. By this love is perfected in us. Remain, if we abide, remain, continue in his love and in his word. The Bema seat should be a pleasurable experience and very productive. As long as we keep abiding in his love, we will have perfect peace. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because there, fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. No more condemnation. 1 John 4:12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. 3:22, and whatever we ask from him, because we keep his commandments, we will receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to him. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. John 14:3, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Abiding, that's the key. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Pointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, meno, stay, continue, so that you'll abide. John really loves God's word. He likes that concept, abiding. We should abide then. Verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who you have sent. He who believes in him, John 3:18, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may have eternal life. That's 1 John 5:13. Verse 24. The one who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Parakletos, that he may be with you forever. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Spirit was not yet given yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 14:17, it's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Romans 5:5, hope never disappoints, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. I think I use that one every time. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Therefore, abide. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word.
Thank you.
Thank you for the sacrifice, Lord Jesus, that you made on the cross. That's where everything circles around, the cross. The Lamb, even in heaven for all eternity, the freshly slain Lamb, where the elders and the beasts will be bowing and worshiping you there, Lord. And bless the rest of the evening, Lord, and we just thank you for everybody came out and everybody who's listening on audio. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is light, in him there is no darkness, and I can see all that he created me to be. In one who is Christ the Son, in the end in the enemy. cannot find me, it is Christ in God.
All right. All right, let's eat.
I just come here to eat.